Okie dokes, family in action. Okay. Tonight, this Sunday, part one. Next Sunday, part two. Part one is called Families. The next one, Stick Together. Families Stick Together. I've got two sticky post-it notes here. This morning was a bit of a fail with the illustration. It was too sticky. But you'll see what I'm getting at in a little bit. Okay, here you go. This one says godly. And this one says worldly. Okay. And we're going to get back to that through the course of the message tonight. Families stick together. There's few things that will move a man to fight. Like if his family's in danger or if his family's been hurt. Some of you picked up that I've seen a few movies in my life and I enjoy cinema. We don't have SABC and DSTV and these kind of things, but we watch movies now and then. There's some decent ones and there's some you must watch out for. But yeah, there's many movies that you can think of that have that theme. You know, where family's in danger and the father or the mother, whoever it is, kind of, you know, puts their life on the line and does their all to ensure the safety of their family. You might have seen Taken. You might have seen The Next 3 Days of Russell Crowe. Those are quite epic movies. You might have seen some kung fu movies. You killed my brother. Now I will kill you. Okay, something like that. Okay. All right, Bruce Lee, Enter the Dragon. Okay, so if your family's in danger, you're going to start fighting, all right? You care about your family. And that's because our family relations are some of the closest human relations or should be the closest human relationships that we all experience here on earth. I mean, you know you feel a little bit differently towards your mom than some random tunny across the street, okay? We are close because we share, sure, we share DNA. If you have to define families, they normally consist of parentals and children. In some, constituency, you've got these days many derivatives. You've got blended families where people have remarried and they're bringing children from previous marriages in that you find a lot these days. And, you know, the more that we dilute the core, the nuclear family, in other words, the parents that created, with God's help, that child, you know, the tougher and the more challenges there seem to be. You get adopted families. You get single-parent families. You get, these days in Tableview, it's shocking. But okay, you know, that is life these days. I mean, when we went house hunting and, you know, to rent a place when we first got to Tableview, we went to see a lot of different places throughout Tableview. And I kid you not, you know, I mean, I can't remember exactly, but it could have been as high as 30% of the places. And we saw like say over 20 places. Okay, so that would be like 6, okay, out of 20. But maybe 6 out of 20 houses that we saw was gay couples. So there's a lot, you know, gay or lesbian couples in this area. There's a lot of them. And many of them had children that they were fostering or looking after that they had adopted, you know. And the family photos, it's just, I mean, just kind of irks you a little bit. It's just doesn't feel right. These family photos, two mommies and this little boy. I mean, your heart goes out to this boy. He has to be subjected and exposed to this. What kind of a, you know, he's got a serious deficit or, you know, that he starts out with in life, having these two ladies for parents. You know, we divorce and, you know, kids that are put up for adoption and that kind of thing. You know, if you kind of just think of the scenario where, you know, a father now didn't commit to the mother or whatever it might be. I mean, there are reasons that things happen. But it's very sad when you see, you know, these children that are obviously alienated from their own parents and where they're really set up for failure in life. Obviously, the Lord can do a major work there, and he can redeem and restore, and he can really bless that child in their identity and in their future. But in general, those kids start with a massive deficit, and it's very sad. So kind of the more diluted you get from the core family, the tougher life is. Families are meant to stick together. Family was instituted by God as marriage was instituted by God. We're going to look at a scripture in a moment. But I came up with this short saying, which isn't necessarily that original, but it is mine. Life is hard, but life gets really hard when we don't obey the word of God. Okay, it's got a nice rhyme to it. Life is hard, but it gets really hard when we don't obey the word of God. Okay, some American preacher. I think that's what inspired me on the first movie. Tomorrow night we're watching Courageous. That's their third movie. It's their fourth movie. Before that was Fireproof. Excellent. They're all excellent. Before that was Facing the Giants. Excellent. Before that was Flywheel. Okay. Flywheel's very good story. It's just very long. And it doesn't necessarily have nice background music. So it's like very long movie. But he's watching the TV, the televangelist, which is actually now the real pastor of Sherwood Church or whatever the church they call. And he's like, and your life's in a mess because you don't heed the word of God. Okay, like in a nice American accent there, obviously. And that is the honest truth. You know, guaranteed, if there's an aspect of your life or an area that's in a mess, or people that you know that lives are really in a mess, I mean, if they had only applied the word of God in those areas, their life would look drastically different, and it would definitely not be in a mess. When we obey the word of God, life works. Okay, it works, and there's no guilt, and there's no shame, and there's no fear. It doesn't mean there's no hardship, but life works, and there's a joy, and there's a peace, and there's love to go around. Right, so let's make sure when it comes to family, because what we're trying to say tonight and next week is that family is all important. Family is all important. We cannot neglect this. Okay, God has a lot to say about family because He is a God of generations. He is a family man. Okay, God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There is a perfect Trinity, a perfect unity, a perfect family. And when we are operating in a godly way, and when we have godly family relations, and when we're a godly family that has chosen to serve the Lord, we more exactly and more accurately represent God in this world than what we can on our own, serving Jesus by myself. No, the family is a fuller revelation of who God is. Okay? Amen? So here's a thought. If you can't divorce your children, because this is what's so ridiculous, and I've dealt with a number of people going through marital crisis and conflict and divorce over the last 2 years since I've been here, since I've now been the pastor over here. Before that, I was a student pastor, and I didn't have to deal with the parentals and the marrieds and everything. And it's been a challenge at times, but the Lord is so faithful. And, you know, it's so sad to see that, people, especially when there's kids involved, you cannot divorce your kids. Those parents that so badly just want to run away from each other, but they've got children, and now they're fighting over children. Now the children are in the middle. Now the children are a commodity. Now the children are a weapon. And, a source of manipulation and all of this. And the Bible says that you clothe your children with violence when you get a divorce. Okay, divorce brings devastation. That's why God hates divorce. And the sin of divorce happened long before the divorce. The papers went through. It's the hardness of heart. Okay, this is what we need to repent of, what we need to forgive of. But the people want to divorce their spouses, but they want to keep their children. And now, if you want to be in your child's life, you can try what you will. You will be in that other spouse. That spouse will stay in your life. Okay? So it just doesn't make sense if you don't want to divorce your children to divorce their mother. Because you want your child to have a mother. you know, and your child wants the mother. So if you love your child, you want your child to have a mother, and the best thing you can do for your children is to love the mother of your child. Okay, so society has things back to front in general. We can take that for granted. That is why we need to get back to the Word of God. That's why we need to proclaim the Word of God out there, because these people are genuinely running around in the dark, in circles, hurting themselves and each other, and they need a light, and they need the answer, and we've got the answer. So we better make sure we know what we believe, and that we take a stand for that, especially in this town. This is the biggest problem in Tableview. Tableview is not known for good family life, okay? Great outdoor living, a lot of wind, kite surfing beautiful, marriage, family, not so good, okay? 80% divorce rate. Okay, this is not meant to be. Let's look at Matthew 19, verse 4 to 6. I'll get back to that one. I missed it again. Haven't you read, Jesus said, that he who created them in the beginning made them male and female? He also said, for this reason a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, man must not separate. God instituted marriage. He instituted family. The reason they become one flesh, the purpose of marriage, yes, companionship, yes, have dominion, yes, be fruitful and multiply. Okay. Marriage is the only safe place for children to grow up in this wicked generation that we find ourselves in. Godly marriage. Okay. What you see there also is that we are always part of a family. You're either under your father and mother in a family, and you go from that directly into the next family when you find a wife and you find a good thing. Okay. The man leaves his father and mother. Not good for the man to stay with his father and mother when he gets married. Not good. Okay. Some people have found it necessary to move a certain distance so that father and mother can't visit every day. Okay, have you watched Everybody Loves Raymond? Okay, not good to buy the house opposite your father and mother. Not good for intimacy in your own marriage. All right, so we're always part of a family. You were made for family. Like, we were made for relationship. We cannot be isolated. We can't be out there on our own. God has created us for this reason. Firstly, also, He wants us to be in His family. But here on earth, we can actually experience an extension of that through our human interaction in our earthly families. So we were meant to be in a family. Family, in other words, is part of your calling. How does your family and how does family life feature in your calling, your God-given, specific, unique purpose in this life? Have you made provision for that? Have you inquired God of that? Do you have a vision? Does your family have certain values that you hold dear? You know, some of us, we saw in the preview to tomorrow's movie, we saw them drawing up a resolution as fathers, what they stand for and what their families are going to stand for. Do you have such a thing? You know, I've got something on the inside of my cupboard that I've put up there. And we need to have a vision for our lives. And we better have a vision for our families. We can have a vision for our business. We can draw up a 100-page business plan. But we don't have one page stuck up inside our cupboard that says, you know, what we as a family stand for and what we're going to. What's more important, your business or your family? Give me 100 top businessmen in South Africa climbing the corporate ladder at the top of the game. I want to see what their family life looks like. How many of them haven't been remarried 100 times? Okay, that's an exaggeration, but they're not necessarily on their first marriage. Maybe precious few of them have a really great family life. If you're spending all your waking hours at the office, you will not have a good family life. Okay. And we must watch out what we're sacrificing and what we're exchanging. Haven't we exchanged the truth for a lie? Haven't we bought into the world system? Haven't we just joined the rat race that's out there that definitely doesn't hold on to biblical values? We need to get back to the Word of God. Don't let the people out there put pressure on you at the expense of your family to make an extra buck or to keep the company afloat. All right? When something conflicts with the value set that God has given you, with biblical truth, it's time for you to take a stand. Even if that means losing your job, well, guess what? If you took a stand for the truth and you lose your job, I defy you. God will give you another job. Okay? But God can't just give you another family. It doesn't work like that. God expects you to stay loyal and faithful and hold dear the family that He has given you to steward and to be responsible over and to love unconditionally. Right. We need to get our ducks in a row in this aspect, because I tell you what, life is getting faster. And the corporate world out there, it's getting faster, it's getting busier. It's like the earth is spinning faster and the hours in the day aren't long enough. It's crazy out there. There's some guys here that know how to burn the candle on both ends. But praise God. Say, vrou, hou sy hand vas. Okay. He spends time with his wife. When she's sleeping, he goes and works. Okay. So you can do it that way if you don't need much sleep to operate on. Yeah, why not? But don't neglect the family. Don't neglect the wife. Someone once said, happy wife, happy life. Okay. We're getting somewhere. Strong, healthy relationships require two things, two ingredients. I don't have it up there. Okay? And this is an acronym. Strong, healthy relationships require it. Strong, healthy relationships require it. Okay. What does it stand for? I, intimacy, T, time. Easy to remember. Just think, what does it require? What does require it? Oh, intimacy, time. Okay, how intimate is your communication with your family? What is the level of intimacy there? If you have to plot it on a scale from 0 to 10, where do you rank intimacy? We've said it before, lowest form of intimate communication, or let's say non-intimate communication, is courtesy. How's it? You can't have a blessed marriage if you just say how's it to your wife once a day. Okay, you got to add a bit more words than that. The next level, it's not even registering yet on intimacy, but this is where we often operate, is informative. Okay, how was your day? What did you do today? Okay, and why didn't you do this? And this is what I did, and this is what I should have done. Okay, and what are you doing tomorrow? Sorry, I'm busy tomorrow, I got this and this. Okay, why are the kids doing this, or why haven't they done that? Okay, information, we're exchanging information, we're drawing information, but that is not intimate, and that's not building the relationship. Most often it's just condemnation and whatever else, okay, when it comes to family life. Those things are just logistics, functional things. God is one who's interested in the heart, and so must we be. As fathers, as mothers, we must seek, and husbands and wives, we must seek a heart encounter. So the most intimate form of communication, that which we need to grow in, because the world out there is not teaching us in this area. Okay? We need to go and spend some time reading through the Psalms to see what intimate communication looks like. Intimate communication sounds more like, how do you feel? What emotions are you experiencing at the moment? What can I do to make you feel better? That is intimate communication. And then obviously to act on that. Okay, we need to get there. Not many of us experienced or had that modeled for us, our parents doing that, seeing that done. And we need to raise up a standard. The enemy has stolen from many of us in terms of, godly example. We need to now go and raise a new standard. We need to sit down. Maybe the Moffat clan, okay, that's a bad example. They probably do have a good vision. Maybe the Voorges clan doesn't have necessarily a godly family vision. Okay, Moffats, the missionaries, they probably do have something. Okay. But now, Pietro and Karina have the opportunity to set a standard. a legacy that Petri's grandchildren, Opa Petri, hy het altyd dit gesê, dit was altyd belangrik vir hom. Ouma Karin, sy het altyd gesê, nee, maar ons moet sit aan die tafel en ons bid voor ons eet en al sulke goed. You know, so we can start establishing godly values and traditions. Okay, where we've been deprived of that example, we can get there. Communication, intimate communication. The most intimate thing we can do with each other is to pray with each other, connecting on a spiritual level. Not just soul, and soul we need to connect there as well, emotional, and that's good, but we need to connect also on a spiritual. And so we have what the world doesn't have, where we can connect on a spiritual level. That's why the Christian marriage, Christian family, can stick tighter than Joe Soap and his family out there that doesn't know the Lord. Okay, because we connected also on a spiritual level. So all three strands are connected. Physical, emotional, and spiritual. All right, when it comes to husbands and wives. And so we can experience a deeper relationship and a closer family tie than anyone else out there. And it's awesome. And we must do that and we must make it count. We must let people see that. We must provoke them to jealousy so they will want what we have. So they'll come and say, what must I do to get saved? And then we can point them to the Lord. So, intimacy. Intimacy. I'm forgetting about my stickers. Intimacy and time affect the stickiness. When we're talking about family sticking together, intimacy and time affect stickiness. Now God knows, He knows all about intimacy. He knows the number of hairs you have or you don't have on your head. Sorry. In the bad example. No, just kidding. He knows the amount of hairs you have on your head. Jesus said in Matthew 7, depart from me, you practice lawlessness, because I do not know you. Intimate knowledge. Okay. Relationship with God, the basis on which we go to heaven. That same know in the Greek as used between a husband and a wife. Intimate understanding. Okay. Intimacy affects our stickiness. When it comes to family, there must be intimacy. And I mean, that's just an example of, you know, God, He's fully committed to us. He knows us intimately. He knows us inside and out. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He's there for us all the time. It's us that walk away. It's us that make ourselves less sticky when it comes to God. He will never leave us or forsake us. He has an intimate knowledge of us. He created us. He created us to have us in relationship. He created us to be family, to be His children. I love where we get our wedding vows from. You know, we do the kind of the standard vows that, you know, you're allowed to sort of come up with your own vows, but we take that portion from Ruth and Boaz. And it's such a picture that's, I'm talking about spiritual intimacy, that tool that we have to enhance our intimacy in married life and in family life through prayer, through having God in the home. And I love what is said there between Ruth and Boaz of, you know, your people will be my people and your God will be my God. Those are such, for me, it almost brings me to tears when I see a married couple, you know, repeating that after me when they're getting married and, you know, knowing that they know what it means. And I can't think of many more intimate expressions than saying, you know, and your God will be my God. That's just something like, because that is so, you know, that's what I live for God, you know. That is what makes me tick. That's what makes me get up. And to know that my wife lives for the same, you know, and we're going to share that, our passion for God, that is something that will bind us together forever. Jesus is the rock upon which this marriage stands. Let Him be the rock on which your family stands. Say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now that is a household that I have every hope for, that they will make it to the end and that there will be a godly legacy running for generations. And we can do that. We can decide now. And that's what we're going to talk about next week. We're going to talk about having a vision and certain values for family life that we can hold dear to. Okay, the other one, the T, stands for time. Okay, time is a very valuable resource. As I mentioned, the world. You know why I did that. Let's just stick it there for a second. Won't forget about it. Good, it's working. Time is a very, very valuable resource. With the busyness of life, someone once said, time is all we have. Time is all we have. Each of us have a clock that is ticking, and we don't know how much time is left. God does know. Okay? And we don't. We need to redeem the time. We need to carpe diem, seize the day. We need to make sure we make the most of what we have, and we need to keep the main things the main things. We need to invest intimacy. We need to invest time where it is most needed. Okay, this is why often there's a set off between work life and family life. We must get that right. All right, we must get that right. We must invest time with the family. You cannot have intimacy. It's kind of the one. They go hand in hand. But if you want a strong, healthy family life, you cannot have that if you haven't invested time. You know, and we can say, yes, quality time, one of the five love languages according to Dr. Gary Chapman, and there's truth in that and everything. But you cannot ignore time or quality time. You're not going to have a marriage if you have zero quality time. Right? We need to operate in that as well. Okay, I appreciate that scripture. It says, there where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Now, treasure, we think of resource, we think often of money. That can be time as well. Okay, it's basically your heart is where, at the place where you attach value, that which you deem important. Your heart is there. Your focus is there. If you're spending every waking moment at the office or building your business at the expense of family time, neglecting the family, yes, you're going to get more and more of a heart for the business. Isn't it true, gentlemen, that if we live with a lady, just, okay, some of you might not be able to identify with that, but if you had a lady housemate, okay, for a while you were a student or something like that. More often than not, those guys, I mean, I've been a student, and yeah, I've lived with some people, and I know a lot of students. When a guy and a girl live together, even if they didn't know each other before the time, you know, give it maybe a few months tops, feelings develop. When you spend time with someone, a guy and a girl, then it is very seldom that feelings and emotions don't start developing. Very seldom that it doesn't happen. Okay, so it's something that we must watch out for. If you've got a business, maybe you're running your own business and you've got one secretary that's helping you, please, you know, appoint a man for that job, you know, if you're a guy and you've got a business. Because when there's a close working relationship or you're around each other the whole time, it is dangerous. Okay. See red lights going on. We need to watch out for that. If you spend too much time with any one girl, it's dangerous. Feelings might develop. Okay, so husbands and wives, we need to watch out for these kind of things. This is why in church terms as well, we don't want guys counseling ladies, you know, and that kind of thing. Especially not on your own, at least. You know, you don't necessarily want to be giving ladies a lift to places, driving long distances with, you know, these are just precautions that we take. We're not saying that we don't trust people or whatever. It's just, let's rather be safe than sorry. I mean, we've all heard of great men of God that have stumbled and fallen in that area. And if they can, then any of us can. Okay, so let's rather be safe. So if you're counseling someone, take someone with you. Better still, get women to counsel a woman, you know, speak to the office. Charlene Tanariana do a wonderful job. So I don't know, I'm just thought I'd share that. But we need to be careful how we spend our time. We get a heart for the things that we around a lot. Okay. It's like the more time you spend in the Word, the more you want to read the Word. It's the same. It's you. God gives you a heart for that thing. All right. So I heard another saying, or another man told a story of on his wedding day, his father came to him, tears flowing, and he said, "My son, one thing you must know. One question you must consider as you're going into marriage now. Do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?" Okay. And years down the line, 12 years down the line, this man took to heart what his father told him. And he said, "Man, in 12 years of marriage, I've never been right. You know, I've let my wife get away, but I'm a happy, happy, happy man. My wife's always had her way. I've conceded all the arguments, but I'm a happy, happy man." He's on the phone to his friend. "Honey, am I a happy man?"
"Yes, love, you better believe it."
"Bob, sorry, I can't play golf with you tomorrow, but I'm a happy, happy, happy man." Okay, we need to invest in what's important. I say this morning, I recently sold my bicycle, something I really enjoyed doing. Time well spent in my book, but it was a lot of time. It was a bit too much time. If you haven't ridden for 2 hours at a time, you're not really getting too much exercise. And so I took that kind of quality decision in my book. I mean, we've got busy family life, two little kiddies and everything, and I want to be there. And I just have very little free time. So sold the bike. So it's a very little sacrifice to make for what's really important. And now I just jog maybe once a week for 20 minutes to keep fit, and that's more than enough for me. And we need to consider, are there things that are holding you back from what is truly important? Spending time with family specifically. You know, are you maybe newlyweds? Are you courting? Are you in relationship, engaged? How's your relationship with your parents, you know, and your children? Ask yourself these critical questions, and what can you do to invest in those relationships? We need to grow. Next week, we're talking about families grow together. If we're not growing, we're backsliding, okay? And there's always room for growth. There's always room for improvement. We need to set goals for ourselves. Family planning in terms of, I'm not talking about how many kids we're going to have here. I'm talking about what is the vision? What do we need to do to grow for this year? And then, like anything, and like you would do in a business to make sure a business is profitable, you're going to have at least a yearly assessment or an appraisal. How am I doing according to my goals? Do I need to shift the goalposts? What can we do here to improve? Where did we miss it this year or whatever? What goals? Think of some goals that you can set. And as I said, we'll talk a bit about more of that next week. But in terms of growing together as a family and investing in terms of intimacy and time, if you want strong, healthy family relations, invest in intimacy and invest in time. Maybe there's a few things you can do to help in that area. Okay. Well, we pretty much finished for the night. I would just like us to pray together. I'm first going to pray for us, and then what we'll do is we'll break up into small groups and just pray for like a couple of minutes before we have some lack of coffee. Thanks, Ralph, for that. So let's just bow our heads and pray. Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, that you're a father. Lord, we're so blessed to have family. We're so blessed to know what that is. We're so blessed that you instituted that. We can't imagine life without families. Thank you for letting it all happen this way. But Lord, we know and we can see and we've experienced many times firsthand how twisted and wicked the world can be, how devastating and how much hurt we can experience even through family when we don't heed your word. And so, Lord, we just want to say thank you for family, and we pray that you will redeem and start with us. Redeem our families, redeem our marriages, redeem our relationships with our children and our parents, Lord, and our siblings. Lord, so often, and life takes people in different directions, and we get estranged from each other, Lord, and Lord, the door to the gospel sometimes closes and shuts in our faces. And Lord, we really want more. We want more for our lives. We want more for our families and our, Lord, our extended families. But Father, we want to thank you that we can bring this before you tonight. And we pray that you'll really come and give us and stir in our hearts a passion and a desire to see our family relationships completely restored and redeemed. Lord, give us strategy, Lord. Show us how to do that. Show us, Lord, where we need to repent towards family members, of where we've maybe been distant, or where we've been judgmental, or where we've hurt them maybe in the past, or maybe we're still in some kind of bad, you know, habits or patterns, Lord, that bring about devastation. And Father, help us also to forgive where we've been hurt. Lord, it's not about us pointing fingers, Lord God. Lord, we've accepted and received your forgiveness so graciously. Lord, help us also in the same way to forgive those who have hurt us. And so, Lord, I just bring before you the families represented in this place tonight, and I pray a blessing over each one of them. I pray a blessing over the generations, Lord God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You can just keep your eyes closed. Maybe if you're facing some kind of turmoil in your family life, thinking specifically spouses, parents, children, siblings, you know, and you're trusting God, or maybe you've just been reminded or convicted of that now, that you need a breakthrough in those areas, you need help there to restore, just put up your hand, and we just trust God for, you know, just to come and do a work there. Okay, Father, Lord, I just thank you, Lord. You see these people, Lord, you know their situations, you know the hurt. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you will intervene in these situations, Lord, that you'll bring about great breakthrough and change, Lord, and that you'll start with their hearts here right now, Lord. They are your change agents, Lord God. They are your, Lord, your redemptive agents, Lord. They are your children that you have sent, Lord, your hands and your feet in their families, Lord. They are your messengers of love and hope. And I pray, Lord God, that you will send them back into those relationships and in those families, Lord, that you will open doors, Lord, that you will restore communication channels, Lord God, and that you'll make way and a room, Lord God, for intimacy and time spent together, Lord God, so that you can come and do a work of restoration. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that you'll heal any hurts that are in this room tonight. Lord, that you'll mend broken hearts. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God, that no matter how far lost or estranged that we may feel from family, Lord, thank you, Lord, that it's not too far for you. Your arm is not too short to save. And I just pray that you will help in each situation represented here in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I almost forgot. My sticky thing worked and I forgot to show you. Check it out. Godly and worldly. You say, when we do things the way of the world and we don't value family relationships as God intended us to, and we invest intimacy and time all over the place and not just where, you know, not where it's meant to be in that kind of a, according to those priorities, and when people are sleeping around and exchanging, you know, what should be just in family time with whoever, and you try and go home and be sticky again with your family and try and be there for them, guess what happens? You fall off. You see? Because when you've been sticky stuff, when you stick it all over the place, it loses stickiness. Okay, so if you're going around where you shouldn't be going around and then now you try and be the family man, you're going to fall, my friend. You're going to fall. Do things according to the Word of God. Amen. Okay, let's break up into groups of three or four, and let's just pray into, maybe make it groups of two, okay? And let's just pray for each other's families. Let's just pray blessing over each other's family. If you have the liberty, because we know each other here, and we're not shy or anything, if you have the liberty to say, man, I'm trusting for a breakthrough for this specific thing, you know, like my sister's not talking to me at the moment or something, then share that with a person that they can just pray and stand in faith with you for a breakthrough there. Okay, so let's take 5 minutes. We're not in a rush. And this is very important stuff. Okay, thanks, guys. Bless you. Hello. Oh, no, sorry, when you finish, there are flyers at the info table if you want to invite a friend for next week. Having a vision for your family. Okay, so there are nice little family flyers. Okay. Cool. Cheers.